الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من ليلتنا هذه إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, we've gathered here on this night to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We are trying to perform our duty to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam by commemorating their tragedies. And we know that when they are sad, the mu'mineen are to be sad as well. And when they are happy, the mu'mineen are to be happy. And definitely in these days and these nights, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are sad. And so inshallah, we are coming to these gatherings with the right intention, and inshallah these gatherings will be something of great value to us in this world and the hereafter. In one tradition that's reported from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that to his companion, he says, do not ever leave aside the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has reward which is uncountable and unmeasurable. He says, tell your companions and your friends to do the same thing. Never leave beside the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. And if you are able to do that, then Allah will increase your life and He will give you more rizq, and you will live a life of happiness, and you will die in a state of happiness, and Allah will consider you to be one who reaches sa'ada, somebody who reaches that extreme level of happiness and prosperity. You see, brothers and sisters, the one who takes the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they're able to take a path of happiness, of sa'ada. Now, the discussion that we've had over the last couple of salawat, please. The discussion we had over the last couple of nights is about happiness from the perspective of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the concept of sa'ada. Tonight I would like to look at the opposite of that, which is shaqawa. Shaqawa means for somebody to get into a state of eternal and complete wretchedness, unhappiness, misfortune. The same way that the ultimate goal for why we've been created was sa'ada, somebody who falls short of that, somebody who doesn't get to that, what Allah created them for, they would reach shaqawa. And this is a concept which is mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. For example, in Surah Taha, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن اتبع هدايا فلا يضل ولا يشقى. The one who follows my guidance, Allah says, the one who takes the path of guidance, that person will never go astray, and they will never be misfortunate. They will never face ultimate sadness, meaning that they will take the path of happiness. Now, from the perspective of somebody who lives in this society, where we tend to look at things, you know, fairly one-dimensional. We tend to think of things in a material level, where everything is about, you know, are you materially happy or are you materially sad? Meaning, are you happy right now? Is your mood happy or is your mood sad? Then generally people would say that, okay, I'd rather be happy than I would sad. Happiness is better than sadness. But when we go to the example that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam have given us, they say that actually, that's the viewpoint of somebody who sees the human being as being one-dimensional. But actually, we are multi-dimensional. We have a body, but we also have a soul. We have this part of our existence, which is called the dunya. But there's something which is much greater than that, which is the akhirah. And if we want to understand this concept of sadness and the correct perspective to have on it, we have to remind ourselves of the hereafter. So I'd like to share with you a tradition from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which gives us a bit about his perspective. This is one of a very beautiful tradition, has a lot of depth to it. There was once somebody who came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he asked him, he says that, it was in the morning time, he said, how did you enter this morning? How are you doing this morning? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam responds, he says that, I entered this morning, wali rabbun fawqi, and I have a Lord who is above me, wal naru amami, and the fire is in front, wal mautu yatlubuni, and death is pursuing me, wal hisabu muhdiqun bi, and the reckoning and the accounting is something which is surrounding me. Eventually I'm going to meet that, and I cannot repel those things that I dislike, and the affairs are in the hands of someone other than me. And if he wishes, he will punish me, and if he wishes, he will forgive me. فَأَيُّ فَقِيرٍ أَفْقَرُ مِنِّي. This is one of those very profound and beautiful statements of Imam Hussein Islam. He says that, where is there somebody who is more needy than I am? Now we look at Imam Hussein Islam and we think of him as being the richest of individuals, the most perfect of individuals, somebody who is given all those perfections that we would ever want to be able to strive for. He's our example. But because he saw himself as being completely dependent on Allah, right? He sees himself as being needy. And then his perspective is somebody who sees not just this world, but the hereafter as well. And that's a very important perspective to have, because when you're talking about sadness, and we bring in this concept of the hereafter, then our understanding will become something which is deeper. Brothers and sisters, Islam, or the Islamic teachings that we have, tell us that there are some types of grief and sadness which are actually beneficial to have. Islamic teachings also tell us that a mu'min is supposed to be somebody who is generally content and happy. Now, how can that be the case? That on one hand, a mu'min, a believer, is supposed to be happy, supposed to be content, but on the other hand, there are some types of grief which is actually natural for a mu'min to have. For example, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that al-mu'min, if you want to know who a believer is, these are some of the characteristics. Al-mu'min is the one whose cheer is in his face, meaning that from the outward, they look like they're cheerful people. They're not people who are always scowling. Not people who are always like, you know, sort of have that grumpy look on their face. Some of the people who are generally cheerful. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, وَحُزْنُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He has grief as well. And that grief, the place for that grief is his heart. So this brings up a question. How do we, you know, understand the bringing together of both of these emotions, which we might seem contradictory to us? There's another hadith from one of the imams where he says that al-mu'min, the believer, is the one who 40 nights do not pass except that there is something that happens to him or her which makes him sad. So at least once every 40 days or nights, there is something going to happen to a believer which saddens them. But why? Why is that one of the qualities of a believer? The Imam alayhi salam explains. He says that yudhakkaru bihi. By means of that sad event, what happens is that this believer remembers. He wakes up. He gets a shock in his system. It's something that recalibrates him or her and makes them remember that it's not just about this life, there is the hereafter as well. So, from the perspective of these type of riwayat and others as well, what we learn from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is that when it comes to sadness and grief, there is some type which is beneficial and there's some type which is actually not beneficial. And this is something that I would like to ask you to, you know, pose as a question for yourself. What is it that makes you sad? You know, are you generally somebody who is cheerful and happy, or do you get upset by various things in your life? And if you were to go and look at those things which make you upset, what is the nature of those things? Is it something which reminds you of Allah, of the hereafter? Does it make you someone who wants to strive closer to achieving that happiness which Allah has created for us to achieve? Or is it something that takes you away from Allah? Now when we go to what the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have advised us about grief, they clearly tell us that there are a number of issues that are going to come up in your life which are not worth getting upset about. Okay, we live at a time where there's a lot of unhappiness in the world around us. When it comes to children, when it comes to youth, adolescents, teenagers, right, there's if you look at the rates of depression, I quoted a statistic earlier in a previous night, which said that one out of every four teenage girls is facing depression. There are so many pressures because of social media, because of access and communication. For example, in public schools, one of the difficulties that sometimes students face is bullying. Right? Bullying that takes place in school, bullying that takes place in cyberbullying, it's something which is a real issue. When it comes to economic pressures that people have, when it comes to social pressures, people, there's difficulties that we come across, family issues. So what is it that we're supposed to do with these? How do we deal with them from an Islamic lens? One of the very beautiful ahadith that we have from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, this tradition, he was advising Ibn Abbas about this idea of how to distinguish between what sadness is worth having and what sadness is not worth having. So after he says it, Ibn Abbas says that I listened to him, and after, you know, the Quran, after the words of the Prophet, I've never heard anything more useful in my entire life. Right, so tonight, inshallah, we get to benefit from the words of Mu'min. He tells Ibn Abbas, he says that people usually get happy over those things which were going to come their way anyways. Okay, Allah had already ordained for this, for example, risk to come your way, and then when it comes your way, you already get happy. You get very exalted and you get very sort of cheerful because of that. And they get overly sad for things that were never going to come their way. Okay, it wasn't meant to be that this thing would be my lot. And so, but I'm getting overly upset about it. So he says, فَلْيَكُنْ سُرُورُكَ بِمَا نِلْتَ مِنْ آخِرَتِكَ. Let your happiness be in that thing which you attain from the hereafter. And let your grief be for that thing which you lose out in the hereafter. So Imam Ali Islam wants to recalibrate the thinking of Ibn Abbas. If your sadness is something which is related to the hereafter, it's something which gives you that motivation to work harder and strive for the hereafter, then it's something which is okay to have. But if it's something where, no, it's related to, you know, things in life, right? Things which you can't really change. That's just the way it is. You know, there are some things that are within our power to change and some things which are not. Right? Sometimes we fret over things that are not within our power to change. Now, it becomes like the sole preoccupation of our life. And the reality is that there's no point in doing so, because that's not something which is going to take us and help us in the hereafter. As I was saying, one of the problems that many youth are facing, because again, I want to make these lectures practical. I give practical examples in the hopes that inshallah we can take these lessons for, not just leave it at a theoretical level. One of the problems that we face, as I said, is peer pressure. This idea that, you know, if we are a certain way, we feel pressured to become something that we're not. To dress in a way that we don't really want to dress. To make a personality for ourselves, you know, to others, just to try to fit in according to some standard that they have set for us. When you approach this from the angle of a believer, somebody who has faith, there should be no room for being pressured in this sort of way. This is one of the things that a believer, they should have that dignity and that confidence, which makes them immune from this type of pressure. There's a beautiful tradition from Imam Bakr alayhi salam when he's giving advice to Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He says that, imagine if you were to have everybody in your city line up and confront you, and they were to tell you that you are a terrible person, you are bad, you are wrong. The way that you can know if you're truly one of our Shia is if what they say does not in any way affect you. And the same way, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam says that one of the ways that you can test what the level of your iman is, he says that imagine that you had a walnut in your hand. A walnut, okay, like a nut. Okay, now you kept it in your hand. Now let's say that everyone in the city were to line up and tell you that what you have is a pearl, but you know that you have a walnut. What they say should not affect you in any way. In the same way that if you have a pearl in your hand, and everyone in the city were to line up and tell you that you have a walnut, then that wouldn't affect you either. Now, brother and sister, what is this pearl that we have? The pearl that we have is the fact and the great blessing that we have, which is that we're exposed to the teachings of the most complete religion, and we have the best role models. We have access to the highest teachings of humanity that take us to the highest levels of perfection. That itself is a strong enough identity to be able, for somebody to be able to ward off all these pressures that they might face from others. No, I'm a Shia. And whatever you might say and try to pressure me into being and doing, which is different than what I've been taught from the role models that I have, that's not going to in any way affect me. So this is one way of dealing with the difficulties, is to sort of look at them and say that, which ones am I just going to set aside? Right? I might feel like getting upset about them, but you know what? It's not something which is worth getting upset about. In the family life, sometimes people get very upset because of the way somebody else is. Okay, and obviously it is upsetting, right? But we have to ask ourselves that at the end of the day, isn't it the case that every human being has free will? It's true. Okay, now if it's the case that we're doing our job in terms of trying to be the good example, once in a while try to give them reminders, right? Trying to compliment them on their good things and point out those things which are negative, and so on and so forth. If we're doing our part, but they're still exercising their free will to be a certain way, then at the end, is that something that I'm supposed to get upset about? I'm supposed to like sort of ruin my life because of that? There's a lot of people who tag their happiness based on what happens around them. Meaning that if it's the case that, for example, everyone else is happy, they're going to be happy. But if it's the case that something happens on the way to work or something happens in the home, right? There's bad traffic, the weather is, you know, it's raining. They're like, okay, I'm going to have a bad day today. That's not the way of a believer. A believer should be able to look at these different events that happen that could sadden him or her and say that, you know what, I'm going to set aside these things. I'm not going to let them affect me. Only those that actually have a bearing on my hereafter, those are the ones that I'm actually going to consider. Please recite salawat. There's another very important way that the Ahlul Bayt have given us to be able to deal with sadnesses that come our way. And it's very important, you know, for us to study these, for us to understand like Islamic psychology. These are methodologies that you're not going to learn if you don't have like the school of the Ahlul Bayt al-Islam, because they depend on our faith. They're things which are exclusive to people who have that faith. When I came across this tradition, I was blown away. I thought it was very beautiful. And so I'd like to share it with you tonight. There was one time when Imam Sajjad al-Islam was giving advice about how you deal with difficult times that come up. So he says miskinun ibnu Adam. Human beings are very, like, he's like sort of saying that poor human beings, you know, like, look at these human beings, like, meaning that he's sort of taking pity on them. He says that every day a human being encounters three tragedies, three difficulties, but unfortunately he doesn't ponder over any of them. And if he were to ponder over any one of these three, you don't have to do all three, even if you take any one of these three, he says that everything else that happens in his day, all the other things that might upset him or her, they would become something that would just fade away into the background. Now, what are those three things? Right? It's really important. Right? The first one, he says that one of the tragedies that happens to us on a daily basis, he says, is that one day of our life has now passed. And then he gives an example. He says that when it comes to some money that you lose or you spend, okay, at the end of the day, that money, one day it's going to go to somebody else, right? It's not going to stay with you to the grave. But he says this day that now has passed, it's not going to ever come back again. Now, isn't that something to think about and to be sort of worried about? The Ahlul Bayt would tell us that one of the signs of a Shia, one of the signs of a believer, is that at the end of the day, they spend some time thinking about that day, that incredible gift that is now about to leave them. Right, before the next one comes up, let me see what I did with this one. Let me learn from the mistakes that I made. Let me see what resolutions I can make to improve the next day. One of the hardest things for us to do in today's era of smartphones and many other distractions is to think and to ponder. To set aside all these distractions and say that, you know what, I'm just going to think about my relationship with Allah. But that's one of the techniques that Ahlul Bayt told us, if you want to achieve success, you know, you're not going to be a mu'min unless you do this type of thing. So he says that ponder upon that, you know, that this one day is gone. That itself is a musibah, that itself is a tragedy that you can take lessons from. Number two, he says that you have now been, throughout this day, you have been given provision from God. Now, if it was halal, then you're going to be asked about how you use that provision. And if it's haram, then you're going to be punished for it. Now, that itself is something to think about as well, too. Right? There's one story, you probably heard it before, where our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came across some extra wealth, so he decided to give it as a gift to Salman and to Abu Dharr. But he divides it in two, some to Salman, some to Abu Dharr. Salman takes that, he goes out of the masjid, he sees a beggar, the beggar asks for money, he gives everything to him, and that's it, it's over. Okay, Abu Dharr, on the other hand, he takes it, you know, he goes to the market, he buys a little bit here, buys a little bit there, you know, does some shopping for his kids over there, gives some charity, all these different things. Of course, everything he does is halal. I mean, this is Abu Dharr, one of the great companions. And eventually they both end up in the presence of the Prophet, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set a stone which has been heated in the sun, and he tells them, okay, now I want each one of you to step on that stone and tell me what is it that you did with that money that I gave you. Salman steps on it and just says, I give it all to the beggar, and he's off of it. It's hot, right? But he doesn't get burnt. Abu Dharr goes and steps on that stone and it's hot, right? So he keeps on shifting his feet, you know, left and right, because, you know, and he's like telling him, okay, I did this with it, I did this with it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, then he tells them that you should know that when it comes to, you know, what you have in this world, you know, if it's halal, you're going to be asked about what you did with it. And if it's haram, then, okay, then that's the punishment. Now this is something, again, which is serious, right? Our time that we spend, right? It's a gift from God, we're going to be asked about it, right? How we use our tongue, how we use our hands, like, you know, are we people who are useful to the cause of the imam, right? Or are we people who are just kind of pretty much doing our own little thing, right? Are we people who say that, okay, you know what, when there's a need that I can fulfill, right, I'm going to be there to be able to step up and fulfill it. May Allah reward all those volunteers and, you know, individuals who strive so hard, right, to organize these types of programs and many other institutions like Islamic schools and, you know, other efforts Right? I mean, this is what they're doing is they're saying that the Imam of the time, you know, is in ghaiba. We need to do something to be able to bring about his coming. We can't just be sitting there. We're going to be asked about these blessings. And that itself is a musibah to think about. And the third one, he says that, which is even greater than all of that, he says that now that one day has passed, okay, this individual has now moved one day closer to the akhirah. He's taken one step further. Now, he doesn't know whether he's going to be entering into the paradise or into the hellfire. But that itself should be something that preoccupies us, right? We might be worried about, let's say, you know, something problem in our job, some family problem, right? Social pressures. But if you compare it to this problem, this is bigger, right? So see how the Imam alayhi salam, he teaches us this technique of being able to sort of place things in their correct perspective. Yes, you're facing these difficulties, right? But in the large scheme of things, there are other problems that you need to be working on and focused on. These are more important. And we could add to this is, you know, that when we say this dua, we say, Ilahi adhum al bala, you know, that dua that we all recite. What is the greatest of bala? The greatest of bala is the absence of the Imam of our time. So this is something that, you know, is a technique for us when we face these difficulties to think about those things which are truly difficult. The last technique that I'll mention this evening is the one that we see from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam as the sure way of dealing with difficulties and sadness in the correct way, is that the closer we attach ourselves to Allah, the closer we're able to get to Allah, the more strong our connection is to Him, then the easier it becomes to deal with difficulties that come along our way. One of the things that we can do in times of difficulty is to reach out to Allah, to feel His presence in ways that we couldn't feel before. There was a companion of our sixth Imam alayhi salam who went with him to visit somebody who was sick, right? That's a pretty difficult thing to face, is when you're sick. He was on, you know, he was sort of lying in bed, he couldn't get up. And when the companion goes with the Imam, he sees that their friend, you know, is so much in pain, he's crying out, he's saying, ah, ah, right? He's feeling that pain, that tragedy. And the companion, he tells him that, you know, it's better that you call upon Allah, right? Don't call up, what is this ah thing that you're saying? This is your time, right? You can connect to Allah. So the Imam alayhi salam corrects him. He says that, don't you know that ah is one of the names of Allah? When somebody calls upon Allah with the name of ah, right? They're actually calling upon Allah, and it's a way of gaining Allah's special mercy. What we can take from this is the Imam alayhi salam is teaching him that when somebody is in difficult times and they feel that connection to that greater power and they call upon them, right, that's one of the ways of getting closer to Allah and dealing with that difficulty. So these are three things that I mentioned just to recap. One of them was the idea of being able to filter and say that when it's something which is not going to help me in the hereafter, well, it's not something that I'm going to get overly concerned about. The second one was to remember these three great musibats, or these three great tragedies that are there every day. And the third one is to see if we can strengthen our connection to Allah, which inshallah will be something that we'll try to address that last one in one of the upcoming evenings. Tonight we'd like to, inshallah, cover the musibah, another very difficult musibah from the stories of what took place on the day of Ashura. There's an event that takes place on the way to Karbala when the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is making their way there. Where at one point, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam sees a dream in which there is a rider who is calling to him. And he says to him that you are riding to death. You are riding towards death. And Ali Akbar and Imam Hussain al-Islam cries out, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When Ali Akbar, his son, hears this, he goes to him and he says to him that, oh my father, what is the matter? Oh my father, is it not the case that we are on the path of truth? And Imam Hussain alayhi salam consoles him and he says that, yes, my son, indeed we are on the path of truth. This journey that we're taking is the correct journey. We are doing our responsibility. And then Ali Akbar alayhi salam says something. He says, إِذَنْ لَا نُبَالِي بِالْمَوْتِ. If that's the case that we're doing the right thing here, then death is not something that we're going to be concerned with. If that's what the end of this journey means, and that dream that you saw is saying that we're going to meet death, then that's not something which is going to bother me. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam hears this, he says that he makes a dua. May you receive the best reward a child can ever receive on account of the way that they treat their parents. Brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to commemorate the musibah of somebody who not only looked like the best of people, he looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only was it the case that he spoke like Rasulullah, but his character was like the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we are trying to raise our children, this is a reminder for us that our efforts should be not just focused on the outer characteristics, you know, like making sure that they're healthy and, you know, they get into good schools and good jobs, but to also have a great focus on their character. You know, what are they going to grow up as being? Who are they going to represent? What values are they going to have? Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Sayyid al-Shuhada. يا سفينة النجاة أيها المقتول بكربلاء عطشانا Peace be upon you, O Chief of Martyrs, O Imam, O that perfect being sacrificed everything on the day of Ashura, who was slain by the banks of the Euphrates River while his mouth was thirsty. On the day of Ashura, the companions of Imam Hussein showed their loyalty to the Imam. They would never let the Imam or his family stand in front of the enemies while they were alive. One by one they went, they fought valiantly, they became martyrs in the way of Allah. Habib, Muslim, Zuhair, Burayr, one by one, they showed their loyalty. But then there came a time when Imam Hussein's friends were no longer standing. History reports that the first of the Ahlul Bayt who came forward seeking the permission of the Imam was his very own son, Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar, that one that people would look upon when they wanted to remember the greatest of people, Rasulullah. He asked permission from his father without any hesitation. Imam Hussein alayhi salam agrees. But when Ali Akbar alayhi salam steps forward, rides forward towards the battle, we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is looking at him. The looking of a father seeing his son riding into what is surely going to be a difficult fate. On one hand, Imam Hussein must have been so proud to see his son being one to be the first to step forward. On the other hand, this is his son. ثم نظر إليه نظر آيس منه وأرخى عينه وبكى. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's eyes begin to tear. He looks at him with despair. He cries out, O Allah, witness this moment. See who it is that is going to the enemy. This is the handsome youth who most resembles your prophet in the way he looks and in the way he speaks and in his character. Ali Akbar alayhi salam fights so bravely. After all, he is the son of Hussein, the grandson of Amirul Mu'mineen. The enemy is fighting the son of the Imam. They must have been so hungry to put an end to him, but they cannot do so. He is like that lion who cannot be defeated. But after some time, naturally, Ali Akbar alayhi salam begins to grow anxious. What is he searching for? After all, his father is the Imam of his time. Wouldn't you like to bid farewell to your Imam before you leave this world? So history says that Ali Akbar, at a certain point in the battle, he turns around his horse. He comes back to his father. He asks him, he says to him, if only there was some water. There are some reports which say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him, there is no water that I can give you, but take care and take comfort knowing that soon you will be given some water by your grandfather. He is waiting for you, O Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar goes back into the battlefield. He fights so bravely, but eventually Ali Akbar alayhi salam is fighting alone. How much can he bear? There is one in the enemy army who takes up his spear. He sees the opportunity. He is hungry for blood of the Ahlul Bayt. He calls himself Muslim. He calls himself a Muslim. But he is keen on killing the one who looks most like the Prophet of Islam. He takes his spear. He hurls it towards Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar falls from his horse. He cries out, Ya Abata alayka salam, hada jaddi yuqri'uka salam. This is my father. Oh my father, I give you my salam. This is my grandfather who is sending his salam to you. He's telling you, oh Hussein, hurry up and join us. We are longing for you. But now the body of the son is on the ground. The enemy army is surrounding it. Their swords and their hands, they raise them together. فَقَطَعُوهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They have no mercy on even this grandson of the Prophet. They take their swords and rip him into pieces. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushes to the side of his son. He puts his cheek on the cheek of Ali Akbar. He cries out, Ala dunya ba'adaka al-afa. Upon the dunya is no longer worth living in after you have left it, O Ali Akbar. Ala la'anatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa si'alam al-ladhin zalamu ayyamun qalibun yanqalibun.